Now let's remain standing together tonight as we read God's Word together. Take our passage of Scripture tonight and try to preach from it. And hope the Lord will give us something for our hearts. Brother Steve, some water. All right. Good to be saved, isn't it? Thank God, I'm glad I'm living in the hour that I'm living in. Living in an hour of people when there's a great falling away and a difficult hour. But thank God, I'm glad I'm living in this hour. This is exactly when Jesus wants you and I to be here for such a time as this, as Esther lived in her day for such a time as that. Amen. And the Lord's got us here for a plan and for a purpose. And it's our responsibility to find the will of God, whatever He wants for us, and get in that will, stay in that will, live in that will, and to glorify our God in that will. Amen. And somebody said, well, I don't feel like we're doing much. Well, I don't either, but we're still here and we're still doing. Amen. And there's a whole lot of other men. I'm just finishing up the book of Jeremiah in my daily reading, and I'm sure Jeremiah felt like he wasn't doing a whole lot. But he might have been doing more than what he thought he was. He was certainly a light to his people in that day. They couldn't deny that. He was a light to the people of Israel, Judah, the southern tribes. And God, for nothing else, you and I can be a light and salt in the earth to these that are living in our day as well. We can raise our families, and it'll do us all well if we can get our family on the ark. Get our family on the ark. Amen. I know a lot of these big super-duper soul-winning boys, they're out there winning them by the boxcar loads, and many of them are losing their own families. We'd do well living in Noah's day to get our family on the ark. And I trust that we can do that by the grace of God. If we'll listen to the Lord, we can do that. We'll listen to what God says, we'll be able to do that. Amen. That's right. Y'all look real excited about being here tonight. I see some of y'all is just about to break out into a laughing revival. As long as it ain't a puking revival, we'll be all right. Amen. Psalm 78 in your Bibles. Psalm number 78 in your Bible. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. Forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Catch this word, I've got something written over it. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through and made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also He led them by a cloud and all night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for the privilege we have to be in God's house tonight. Thank you for thy word, Lord. It should be precious to us in the hour that we're living in. Not all nations have the word of God. Not all churches tonight, Lord, have the word of God. But I'm thankful that you've given it to us. Help us to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. I pray you'll help us to make it a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll bless us with your divine presence, that you'll bless the preaching of the Word of God, that you'll anoint once again with that fresh oil. Fill me, I pray, with the Spirit of God. Grant me liberty in this pulpit to preach, Lord, to your people, and take thy word tonight and penetrate the hearts of your children, blessing and rejoicing them because they've been saved, and, Lord, pricking the hearts of the unbelieving that they might come to Christ and know you in the free pardon of sin. Help those that are sick, those that are away from us. Give great grace tonight, Lord, in the house of God, great liberty, great power. And may Jesus tonight be glorified. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Well, I want to say a few things on the way of introduction, then I'll try to bring the message that the Lord has laid upon my heart for the evening hour. We know from the title of this psalm, Psalm 78, that it is a psalm of instruction. We know that by the word Mishael of Asaph, and Asaph is the author, and so he is writing to instruct the people of God. And he clarifies that in verse number 1, where he says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth." And let me say that's wisdom for you and I today. It's not only instruction for the nation of Israel, but it's also instructive for you and I in the hour that we're living in, that we should give heed, earnest heed, to the things that we have been taught, that we ought to give earnest heed unto the Bible and to the instruction that the Word of God has for us. I want to say the instruction of the Bible will not profit you nor me unless we lay it to our heart and put it into practice in our everyday life. That is why James said that we ought to be doers of the Word of God and not hearers only. For if we're hearers only, then we're deceiving ourselves. And God help us that that should be the case at Island Ford Baptist Church. I want us not only to be hearers of the Word of God. I want us to listen. God tells us, first of all, incline your ear. You're going to have to give God not only your ear, but your heart in hearing the Word of God. And then lay it to heart and become a doer of the Word of God. And there's a number of things in this text that Asaph tells us that we ought to be instructed in. And one of those is that we ought to be teachers of the Word of God to our children. He talks about those things that we have heard and known, our fathers have told us. And in verse 4, we will not hide them from their children. We're not supposed to hide the Word of God from our children. That is, we are to be teachers of the Word of God to our family. It's like I may have told you this Sunday morning. If I did, I'll tell it again. Brother Bryant's little boy's name is Boozle. And they call him Booze for short. And Brother Bryant told me, said one morning he was doing family devotion and he got to instructing the children. He told them, said, "Now kids," said, "I want you to understand that Booze is wicked. It's very wicked." Said the little boy began to cry, and he said, "Daddy, I'm not wicked." And said Brother Brown, said, "Booze, I'm not talking about booze, though. I'm talking about the kind of booze you drink." And so he was giving some wise instruction to those little boys. That little boy will remember that all of his life, that his daddy taught him a personal lesson simply by using his name. And you'd be amazed at the little things you can teach your children simply by using their names and things in daily life that they're around from day to day. And God said that we are to teach this Bible to our children. I think that's good instruction. If you want your child to raise up to be a heathen, then just forget the Word of God in their life. If you want them to die and go to hell, just forget giving them the Word of God. Yeah, if you're unconcerned about their soul, just forget about the Word of God. But if you are concerned about their soul and where they're going to spend eternity, it is good instruction to get to lay to their heart the Holy Bible, just as it was Timothy, that it was able to save him. Even from a child, he learned the Holy Scriptures and the fact that they were able and had the power to deliver him from sin and make him a child of God. And your children and my children ought to be able to be taught that and to learn that from their very youth on up. Somebody say amen right there. And so that's good instruction. And he said there in the same verse, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord. You know why we're so dead today?
Yeah.
We forgot to teach our children the praises of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's right. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, how do you teach children the praises of the Lord? By example.
Amen.
Let them follow your example. We can't expect the generation following us to be any more than what we are. We ought to leave them something. That's right. As adults and as parents and grandparents, we ought to leave them something instructional in their daily life. And one sure thing is we ought to teach them the goodness of God and the fact that God not only deserves but desires the praises of His people. The Bible said that God inhabiteth the praises of Israel. That's where He lives, ladies and gentlemen. You show me somebody that's appraising God, and I'll show you where God is at in the house of God. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, now you don't want to get too excited. No, we don't have to worry about that.
Amen.
Don't worry about getting too excited. I don't think we got too much to worry about on that end of the line. But we ought to teach them God's strength and His wonderful works. And we ought to, verse 5, make them known to our children. And the bottom line of it all is that they might set their hope in God.
Amen.
I'm about ready to get to the message. And why should we want our children to set their hope in God? For the simple reason we do not want them to turn out like Ephraim did.
Amen.
The Bible said in verse 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Now, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that if your children see you turn back in the day of battle, what do you think they're going to do when the fires gets hot around them? And I'm telling you, we're living in a generation when the fire is going to get turned up on the people of God. I want to embed that in your heart. Somebody said, you remind us that every time you preach. I'm going to keep on reminding you of that, because I'm telling you, we're living in the last days, yet drawing nigh to the time of Jacob's trouble. And friend, it is going to be a hot time in the old town for God's people coming for a few short days from the time we're living right now.
Amen.
Amen. We better teach our children to stand fast in the Lord.
Amen.
Teach our, that's right. Amen. Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, turn back. Turn back in the day of battle. I want to preach for a little while, if God will help me tonight, on the thought of turning back with victory in sight. Turning back with victory in sight. I'm afraid that I'm watching people.
Amen.
Turn back on God, and victory is just around the corner.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm seeing saint and sinner alike turn back on God. Amen. With victory just around the corner. With victory just over the next hill. With victory just beyond the next valley. And yet God's people are turning back on God in the day of battle. Amen. And they've just got one more mountain to climb. One more valley to cross, and yet they're turning back on God by the handfuls. And unfortunately, if the sinner man sees the saint man turning back on God, the sinner man will not be able to put an ounce of faith and confidence in God. If you and I as God's people don't have enough faith in God to keep on in the battle, how do we expect the lost man to keep on in the day of battle? Going to have to set that example before the lost, just like we do our children.
Amen.
Come on in the house now. I'll be like Brother Rain said, I'll be like Liz Taylor told her eighth husband, I won't keep you long tonight, amen. Now, people turning back with victory in sight. May I say that there are those that are turning back with a cross in sight. Lost people, drawing up close to the very cross of the Lord Jesus, and yet turning back. For some reason, I just can't get in. It is for some reason you don't want to get in. That's the problem. It's not that sinners can't get in. Come on now. It's that sinners don't want to get in. And they're turning back, ladies and gentlemen, with the cross inside and victory inside and salvation inside, with very life itself inside. They're turning back. They're turning back. Somebody said, can you prove that? I sure can. You don't need to turn there unless you want to, but Mark 10 and verses number 17 through 22 is a story about that rich young man that came to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one. And Jesus said, what are? Said, keep the commandments. What are the commandments? Keep the commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Honor thy father and thy mother. And on and on and on. And that young man said, all of these have I done from my youth up. And the Lord said, yet you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have. Give it your money to the poor and come and take up your cross and come after me. And that young ruler went away very sorrowful. And the Bible said, I've got this down. Buddy, I'm telling you, God has done laid it on my heart. Amen. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. I've heard folks say, God don't love everybody. God loved that man because the Bible said he did. And he went away a lost man. The Bible said Jesus loved him. And yet he went away from him a lost man. I'm telling you, there are people, ladies and gentlemen, that are turning back with a cross inside. Man, I'm telling you, I believe it was me. Amen to God. And I had Calvary inside. And by the way, it's not that that man couldn't have got saved. That man didn't want to get saved. I'm not going to tell you who, but Brother Williams' wife made this statement over to church. It was in this meeting, this guy got up and got to preach it. And said he got to talking about how God deals with sinners on a particular sin. And said, he made it sound like that God would bring a particular sin down to your life and deal with you on that about getting saved. She said, I just believe he deals with you as a sinner in general. I said, well, I believe I can take you to several places in the Bible and prove to you where God dealt with people on a particular sin in their life. John chapter 4, he dealt with that woman living in adultery. John chapter 8, he dealt with that woman that was a harlot. Come on in the house. Amen. And we go, he dealt with Bartimaeus about his blindness. On and on we should go. And I'm here to tell you, if God makes a sin in your life, ladies and gentlemen, if he makes that sin an issue, you're going to have to settle that sin problem before you can ever make your way to the cross. And I'm afraid today that people love their sin more than they love God. And they're hanging to that sin with the cross inside and dying and going to hell without God and without hope. Amen. Somebody help me a little bit. Amen. You know I'm telling it right. Buddy, and I'm telling you, folks don't want to give up their sin. That's their problem. Amen. Don't tell me God don't deal with sinners about particular sins, buddy. Right. He will and he does. He has and he will. And if he makes it an issue, you're not getting in until you settle that sin with God in your heart.
Amen.
Amen, amen. You're going to have to close with Jesus.
Amen.
That's what the old timers called it, closing with Jesus.
Yeah.
You're not getting in as a sinner until you close with him.
Yeah.
And you're not going to close with him as long as there's a pet sin in your life that you love more than you love God. You're not going to close with him. Not going to close with him.
Amen.
Come on in the house now. And I don't care what it is. It may not be nothing but a cigarette, friend. Somebody said, I believe you're crazy. Call me whatever you want. It may not be no more than that reefer you got.
Amen.
Come on now. But I'm telling you, if God makes that an issue, it's an issue. It may be, it may be womanizing. It may be dope. Amen. It may be sodomy.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, there's people that are dying and going to hell. They're turning back with victory inside. God has convicted them. The Holy Ghost has drowned them. They come to an old-fashioned altar and they'll depart lost and without God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, God is, people are turning back with victory inside of the cross. I said, I wish you'd get off of that. All right, I will. I told you I'd hurry. May I say number two, that people are turning back with Canaan inside. I hope to God we didn't do that in 1996, 97, 95, 98, and along in there, wherever you want to mark it, anywhere along through there, that we didn't turn back with Canaan inside. May God help us if we did. Be like Israel in Numbers chapter number 14. And I'll give you the verse. You don't have to turn there. Verse number 25. Brother, I'm telling you, on the next day God said, tomorrow, turn back! Go into the wilderness. They come to the borders of Kadesh Barnea. And a land of milk and honey was inside. And they turned back with victory just around the corner. I wonder if anybody here in 96 turned back with old-time Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost just around the corner. This ain't even my message, but I'm going to read it. I found it in this old Bible this message is in. I was praying today, and I come across it. I want to read it to you. I believe from my study of the Word and from a careful examination of the inner experiences of holy men and women of God, that this mighty baptism is just as real an experience as that of regeneration itself. James Alexander Stewart said that. Dr. A.T. Pearson said that while theologians were contending as to what the baptism of the Spirit was and were divided on the question as to whether it was proper to expect or even asked for in this dispensation, the fact was that men and women were both asking and for and receiving a new and a strange investment of power from on high, which somehow revolutionized their character, their conduct, their temper, and their work. And he said, while men are arguing about it, you better forget arguing about it and start praying for that old-time baptism of power on God's people. Somebody said, I don't believe that. You'll never have it with that attitude. There is a... If all God's got to offer is what I see on some of you tonight, you are of all men most miserable. There is a life that is beyond comprehending. Woo! Joy bells ringing and angels are singing. Hallelujah to God. There is a life that will fight the battles, not complain, and come out on the other side with victory, hallelujah to God, in our heart. Because the power of God has operated on us and blessed and helped us. Most Baptists don't know anything about the power of God. Most Baptists believe the church started on Pentecost. And if you can take the Bible and prove that to me, I'll eat that Bible.
Amen.
His disciples said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? He said, it's not for you to know.
Amen.
The signs and the time. But he said, but you shall receive power.
Amen.
After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said in, I think, verse 5 or somewhere in chapter 1 of Acts, and you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. Now somebody said, Brother Hall, you're talking about some super duper thing that's not possible. Oh no, if you just go on in the scripture in Acts chapter number 2 and read what happened, the Bible said, hey, come on now, they were all, hey, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, hey man, is no more than being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen to God. Ain't one baptism, many fillings of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. That's all it is, being filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, a whole lot of folks come right up to the door of it. And with victory in sight, they said, I don't believe this is real. And they've turned their back on it and walked away from it. And you know what they're doing now? They're wandering around out in the wilderness.
Amen.
They're wandering around out in the wilderness. If you think that I'm wrong, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. The priest was anointed that he might be holy unto the Lord. Leviticus 8:12. The king was anointed that the Spirit of the Lord might rest upon him in power. 1 Samuel 16:15. The prophet was anointed that he might be the oracle of God to the people. 1 Kings 19:16. Jesus was anointed that he might fill all three offices, prophet, priest, and king. Hallelujah to God. And the disciples were anointed in Acts chapter number 2. Have you ever been anointed with old-time Holy Ghost power, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'm asking you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anybody listening? They pulled up to Kadesh Barnea and believed the lie of 10 men and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years for God's judgment upon them.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you that you're no different than them. You rebel against it. In 1984, I believe it was, I didn't know what God was doing. But I'm telling you, that night at Greer Baptist camp meeting, I didn't bow my neck on what God wanted to do. I'm telling you, you're looking at one preacher that wants everything God wants. I want to have everything that He wants me to have.
Amen.
I want to be filled. Hey, and to be filled with the Holy Ghost is to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, woo, there is no law. Now, that's right. How much love you got boiling out of you tonight? How much joy? How much peace? How much long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance? Is it running out of you tonight like honey running out of the honeycomb? Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
I'm glad that I got it when I got it.
Amen.
Because people living today don't believe it. And I'm going to tell you why I don't believe it. They don't see too many people with it.
Amen.
They don't see too many preachers with it.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you what. It's hard to convince people that there is a power to be had if they never see it in preachers.
Amen.
Old timers called it the smear. Some call it unction. Some call it being filled. Some call it being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Call it whatever you want to call it, but I can tell you when a preacher's got it when he ain't. Amen. Anybody listening? Somebody said, should we ask for it today? Go to Luke 11 and find out for yourself.
Amen.
We've got a tape here somewhere, Harold Zeitler preaching it at Southwide Baptist Fellowship in at Tennessee Temple down at something Park, Highland Park Baptist Church years ago when he was a fairly young man. Preached out of Luke 11. He said, most of you preachers in here don't even have what I'm talking about. They didn't.
Yeah.
They were dead.
Amen.
Dry.
Yeah.
No oil. The very fact that the Holy Ghost oil is a type of oil to tell you that He's a smooth running spirit. Woo!
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God. That's right. They don't. Yeah. Not many hang-ups when you're filled with the Spirit of God. You got them ball bearings oiled real good. Got your mind thinking real smooth, got your heart working real good and in tune, got your soul filled up. Amen. Come on in the house. Hallelujah. I want to say some men have turned back with victory in sight, not only in the cross and Canaan, but the call of God on their life. God have mercy. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. You take it any way you want to take it. That Bible said in Luke chapter number 9 that a man that says he's been called and puts his hand to the plow and looks back.
Yeah.
Bible said that man's not even fit for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
That's Bible now. I didn't write it. I'm just preaching it.
Amen.
Praise God, there ain't no looking back.
Yeah.
No turning back, friend. Why you don't turn back forward with victory inside? I'll never forget that night. I sat nowhere meditating on it again today. About when the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you why I was thinking about what I was going to ask these men tonight about what Job said. And I got to thinking about how the Holy Ghost spoke to me that night over at Bible Baptist Church when Brother Nolan read Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. I believe it was 12. Might have been 11. I believe it was 12 where he called Abraham. And I got thinking about that. It wasn't a literal voice, audible voice, but I'm going to tell you something. I heard him. He didn't say Abraham. He said to Gary, it's time for you to get out of this place, away from your father and your kindred, to a place that I'll show you. And praise God, I'm telling you, carried me down to the big city of Rumsey. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you, I was happier in a hog group than in slop. Had that little old white room church over there. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I was happy. Miss Kim, I was. I'm telling you, you can ask my wife. I really thought I was somebody. God doesn't give me a... Hey, really it was. I was a little old nobody, but God gave me a place to preach. I thought, glory to God, I had to preach to old Carl Jennings trimming his fingernails every Sunday morning. I preached to him, amen. Even told him he ought to be cutting his fingernails. I preached on everything that walked, wiggled, crawled, looked cross-eyed. But I'm glad, but God gave me a place. But God had bigger things in mind. God led me from there to Greenville, South Carolina, from there all the way to Tucson, Arizona, and from there right back to where God called me from, not the little old place called Rumsey, but to the best town on earth. Hallelujah to God. Gave me the best Baptist church on earth, the pastor. Hallelujah to God. Gave me a ministry. Praise God. And I've been thankful for it ever since. Bless your heart. Amen. That's right. Now, God's good, folks. I'm telling you, God spoke.
Amen.
Amen. God called and I followed. Men have come drawn up right close to it. They've turned back with victory inside.
Amen.
Because they were armed and carrying bow, but when the battle got on them, they didn't have enough grip in their crawl to fight the battle. They turned away from God and turned back.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, a man that's going to preach better learn he's got to square off a swath up here that belongs to him and nobody else, friend.
Amen.
Amen. Not be afraid of anybody. And you don't have to be. If you're where God is, even as a Christian, if you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, you don't have to fear.
Amen.
Nobody.
Amen.
Especially Slewfoot.
Amen.
Now, men have drawn back with victory in sight. They've drawn back from the cup. Jesus. In John 18:11, when they come out to get him, told Peter, said, not the Son of Man drank the cup which the Father has given me to drink. There's not many people want to drink that cup tonight.
Amen.
There's where the right here's where the rubber meets the road for us. That cup is full of troubles.
Amen.
And folks have found that they'd rather it's much easier just to kind of cave in and give in to it than it is to fight it. I used to have an old commercial out there. You won't thank me too pagan for this. Showed a woman with a cigarette about 4 miles long, had a black eye, and she said, "I'd rather fight than switch." Well, I'm going to tell you, as a child of God, I'd rather fight than switch.
Amen.
There's going to be trouble, heartaches, hardships, bitter experiences. There's going to be trials. There's going to be temptation. There's going to be tribulation.
Yeah.
And if you turn away from that cup God has given you to drink, you'll turn back with victory in sight.
Yeah.
Being armed and carrying bow. They had shields. They had bows. They turned back.
Amen.
In the day of battle. Now notice, four things very quickly and I'm done. I'd like to preach longer, but I don't think you'll let me. They turned back. For fear of the enemy.
Amen.
It was in the day of battle that they turned back. You know why they feared the enemy? It was like that dirty little coward that shot Mr. Hyde. They're cowards. I know men that are big and robust and they'd fight a buzzsaw on this earth. But when it comes to spiritual matters, they don't have enough oomph in their stoop to fight nothing or nobody.
Amen.
I know men let their wives fight the battles. You go on out there, honey, I'll stay behind you. I'll back you up. Most of them's way back. How far back you going to be backing me? Just as far back as I can get. God have mercy on a man like that.
Yeah.
Come on, men. Father's Day's just around the corner. We got any daddies in here that's got some grit in their crop? Battle is raging. I'm telling you, the devil has launched an attack. If you think the war on terrorism is something, I'm telling you, you've seen nothing until you take a pause and look at the war that's going on in spiritual realms tonight.
Yeah.
Now I'm telling you, Daddy, is your family worth fighting for? Are you ready to teach them the Word of God? Are you ready to teach them to set their hope in God? Are you ready to teach them the praises of God, the power of God, the wonders of God?
Amen.
Most daddies aren't.
Amen.
Come on, men, rise up. Quit you like men. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Praise God, He'll fight the battle for you. If you grab up that little 5 smooth stones, put one in your sling, and head the Lord Goliath, I'll guarantee you, God will bring him down.
Yeah.
But old David didn't run. He run all right in the day of battle, but it was toward the battle and toward the enemy. Not from him. Amen. If you'll just be obedient to God and march around your Jericho like Jesus said, son, the walls will fall down.
Yeah.
Some of you want to say, sweetheart, you going out there and march today. I'd rather do something else. God, help us.
Amen.
Oh, God, help us. Come on now. I'm telling you, I'm right in some of you's back door and you know it. In the day of battle, it was in the day of battle, they were afraid of the enemy. Can I ask you, what is there to fear? If you're in love with Jesus, you don't have to worry about Jesus loving you. and his love for us and our love for him. And I believe that's what John's referring to. His love for us and our love for him is a perfect love that casts out all fear. Oh, yes, it will, friend. Somebody called over here, I don't know when it was, Brother Bell never said, that it was a woman, said, I want to ask you a question. What do you think about a preacher that would lie about his physical health? And Brother Bell said, well, I don't know, what are you talking about? He said, well, what do you think about a preacher that would tell people that they're reserving a room at Truman Hall up at the Veterans Center for him, and that his wife was getting a wheelchair ready for him to be in a wheelchair. And I've seen him, and he's not in a wheelchair yet. What do you think about a preacher that would lie? And somebody has heard me talk about going up to Truman Hall, and they think that I'm lying about my physical health. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Everything I've told you about my health is what the doctors have told me. And I'm smart enough. If you think it's not wisdom, the very minute Fred Thompson thought about running for president, the first thing he said, walked out and said, I've got lymphoma cancer. I want to clear that now. I want everybody to know it. And what I've been telling you is good wisdom. I think maybe they may have finally. You know, all this time I've been tired, wore out, just weak, tired, wore out, tired, wore out, weak, tired, wore out. They may have just nailed her down for my problem. That B12 vitamin. I've been reading about it. You know how much of it you're supposed to have a day? Between 2 to 5 MCGs. Now, whatever MCG stands for. You know how much they're giving me orally? 1,000 of them a day. That is how many times more? 250 times more than what I'm supposed to have. They say maybe your stomach will absorb it. That's why the doctor told me I have to take it all of my life. They said if you ever take it and get it up, if you stop, you're in trouble. That's why I said if it didn't work in the pills, they'd have to give it to me in needles. And I read where the needles said that they are really painful, so pray with Brother Hall that the pills will work. Not fond of them needles. Mr. Hall, would you bend over? Oh, no. God have mercy, friend. I have needles. I don't like them, Brother Jerome. They say when they come flat-footed out and tell you, they're painful. Brother Bill Williams told me yesterday, he said, you know something, I had them when I was a kid, and said, bless God, they'd burn my leg down this way and up there. I said, Bill, shut up. You know it. Are you crazy? But I want to read you something. Years ago, while I was in Bible college, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I've got that outlined in that little Bible. And it's a big color coded in my Bible that I had before that I had in my 179X. I guarantee you, I can go in there and get it, and it'll be color coded in it. I don't know what color. But I'm going to tell you something. God told me a long time ago that He is going to refine me with afflictions. Praise God, I think that it's living out to be exactly what He said, but I ain't about to run. I'm not ready to retire. And by the way, they asked me that the other day at the VA hospital. They said, Mr. Hall, have you ever thought about retiring? I said, sure ain't. I said, sure enough ain't. Well, why not? I said, well, I'm considering refiring. That doctor said, refiring? What are you talking about? I said, you wouldn't know if I told you. No place to retire. And there's no place around the bell. I'm going to tell you something. When I come in over here today, I was a dragon. I told Miss Hall, I said, I don't know if I'm going to have the strength to walk up there and do it. And yesterday, I come over about 10 minutes with Devin broadcast and went back out. And for the first time, and I don't know when, I laid down and went to sleep in the afternoon because I couldn't go. And I'm going to tell you something. I got to preaching tonight. I'm feeling pretty good. Shame on the devil. I'm not about to turn back. No, sir, victory's in sight. The next hill may be the last hill we got to climb. Praise God, I see a broad light of shining from the city above. Hallelujah to God. And I plan on keeping on, keeping on. They turned back for fear of the enemy. I won't say number two. I'm just about done. Stay right with me. They turned back, number two, for their faith was not steadfast. Look at verse number 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Their faith was not steadfast. In other words, they were unstable like Reuben. Unstable like water. They were double-minded in all their ways. They had the armor. They had the artillery. They were armed, and yet they turned back in the day of battle. God help us. Is your faith steadfast? Yes. Have you got the real thing? Are you playing church? Yes. I'm satisfied some of you just playing church, playing along with God. I'm going to tell you something. Your sin will find you out one of these days.
Amen.
God will reveal what you've got and who you are and what you are. It may take a while, but He'll do it.
Yes.
And I'd rather let it be revealed by grace than be revealed by judgment, friend.
Yes.
Amen. Their faith was not steadfast. May I say number three? They failed to keep God's covenant. Look at verse 10. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. Jeremiah said, get in the old path. Walk the old path. Where is the good way? They said, we will not walk therein. Same as this crowd.
Amen.
Being armed. They had what it took. Folks, can anybody in here say that we don't have what it takes today for victory? We got a Bible. We got a Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
We got fellowship. What else do we need? I'm going to say number four, and I'm closing here. They forgot the works and the wonders of God. Verse number 11. They forget His works, His wonders that He had showed him. They forgot the plagues that were in Egypt. Verse number 13, they forgot the power in dividing the Red Sea. Number 14, they forgot the path that God led them down. And in verses 15, 16, and 20, they forgot the provisions. They said, can God spread a table in the wilderness? The Holy Ghost said, God can.
Amen.
I told them now, Brother Frankie's what that little sign in there, Miss Ruth, made, and they like to had a spell. Can God? God can. Better still, God will. And not only can He will. He will. What about you? Have you turned back in the day of battle? Being armed and carrying bows? Have you just turned back on God? Settled in on your leaves and said everything's going. Let everything go. And let what will be, will be. I want to tell you something, church. You can make a difference. You can make a difference in your family. You can make a difference in the church. You can make a difference in your community. You can make a difference in your neighbors, the people that live around us.
Amen.
We'll just thoroughly get right with God. Let's stand together.